Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We'd love to know your thoughts on events that seem to be occupying the minds of the county right now. 083 311 3311. You can also get us on WhatsApp. Our WhatsApp number is the same as the text number, 083 311 3311. Or you can also get us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at TipFMSport, of course, at TipFMSport, 083 311 3311. Don't forget you can nominate for the TipFM Sports Personality of the Month for May if you wish to send in a nomination. It's sportstar@tipfm.com. That's the email address you need to use, sportstar@tipfm.com. That's in conjunction with the Talbot Hotel in Clonmel and John Quirk Jewellers in Care. And we've had some great winners so far in months gone by. Richard Blackmore, Orlo Dwyer, just to name two, who've taking at home one of those gongs. And at the end of the year we'll be announcing who from the 12 monthly winners will be the sports star of the year. So that's the sports nomination for May. We're looking for sportstar@tipfm.com. Text is coming in thick and fast. No need for analysis, says one texter. We have to rid ourselves of all these grandiose illusions and recognise that we are now Joe McDonagh candidates. But things change very quickly. Just a few weeks ago, all our experts and pundits were quoting chapter and verse of all of Cork's shortcomings. Somebody said Cork should be reminded that hurling was a contact game. So basically, I don't know if that's a Cork supporter living in Tip or whatever. Maybe it's a Tip supporter. He uses the word we, so perhaps he is a Tip supporter, but he's quite right. Cork's obituary seemed to have been a little premature. 083 311 3311. Let's hear from Colin Bonner, because he cast a fairly forlorn figure when he spoke to Stephen Gleeson underneath the stand in Semple Stadium yesterday.
We're in shock, yeah. We didn't see that coming down the tracks. We thought we were building something there in terms of, you know, the Limerick performance. We felt we put in a huge shift there, and we put in a huge shift against Waterford, you know, and even the Clare game, I know the first half didn't go well, but we had opportunities and we came out in the second half and maybe one or two 10 to maybe 10 points, and, you know, we showed a bit of fight. But the first 10 minutes went perfect. I says, yeah, we'll get it stuck in and we'll get into them. And yeah, we started well, scored 1-3, and we seemed to be taking our chances, and, you know, and Cork came back with a few points. But then, you know, we were threatening goals down there, and we got taken down for a penalty. And, you know, I was saying, great, yeah, we're in a great place, and next thing, just saved or hit the post, but I went straight up the field, and that was a huge turnaround, but not in the sense that I didn't see what came for the next 20 minutes. And that's what's so frustrating. Cork play a type of game that if you're a yard off, their little combinations, they're probably at that 2 or 3 years. They were huge confidence in terms of how they played it. And even though we worked hard, I thought we tried to get into the game. It's just their little combinations were catching us out, and they were full value, you know. You can see why they were in the All-Ireland final. They are a team that have a bit of momentum going. And people were devastated, yeah.
If that penalty had gone in and Cork hadn't got that goal, do you think Tip would have held on till half time and kept the game closer? Or, you know, like, can a moment that early change the outcome in any way?
Well, look, it was a 6-point turnaround, and it does take a while to get that, but Cork can build up momentum very quickly. And yeah, they were coming at us, but, you know, I think it would have just given us the confidence to maybe just to keep shooting, but or to keep the pressure on them. But when it happened, no, you don't expect us to go the way we did. And Cork did up the ante hugely, and whether it was them or whether we got deflated, but I don't think so, because, you know, there's too much at stake here, and the game was too early for us to, you know, to kind of take. But, you know, as we keep telling the players, yeah, scores have come 6, 7, 8 points is nothing in hurling, and it can change very quickly. And they were just to keep focusing and putting the pressure on what they can bring in the game. They work great, and yeah, look, it's It's difficult. It's very hard for us to understand that because, you know, we felt we were getting a lot of positives. Yeah, look, we can talk about, you know, the 6-7 players of that have huge experience, but like we always felt that, you know, we maybe 6 or 7 lads got the championship debut. The likes of Marco probably getting his first full year at it. We brought him 1 or 2 getting a chest. So a big turnover, but I would have kept saying that, you know, it doesn't matter whether in your first year in TIP or whether your second year or third year or your 13th year, that if you're given a TIP jersey, you should be well enough able to compete. And that's, you know, so as much as a turnover there is with the team, we still have 36 players inside there and 36 players that wanted to play for Tipperary, and none of us wanted that result.
The second half was hugely disappointing from a TIP point of view, and Cork were the team that just kept driving on there, and had you any way that we could see that we could claw that back anyway in the second half, or was it just gone early in the second half, or, you know?
Yeah, again, we needed a small bit of luck. I know we were pulled back. We came out, I know they nearly got a score starting off, but we came back and we had a score and we were pulled back, I think, when we had put in the back of the net. And that would have given us a hope. But having looked at the way Cork played all day, like, we were going to struggle to kind of match in terms of what they were doing. Their style of play is hard to play against. And in the open space of Thurles, they really, really kind of connected in together and... as I said, look, they're doing that for the last 2 or 3 years. They have huge confidence and a lot of courage in terms of what they're doing. And, you know, they're going to have a big say in this championship. And there's no doubt about that. And as I said, that's why they have been in the Ireland final. They pull off a couple of big results. That's their second big win now. They've gone to Walsh Park. They beat Waterford. They came down here to Semple Stadium. They beat Tipperary. So, yeah, look, nobody's going to, you know, as I said, nobody's going to underestimate the challenge that they're going to bring.
That's Colin Bonner speaking to Stephen Gleeson after events in Thurles yesterday. Lots of texts coming in on 083 311 3311. One texter says, in regards to Tipsy game yesterday, my frustration relates to the sideline management, how they continued to allow only one forward during the majority of the game without rectifying it at half time. There's no structure. How do they expect to win any game like that? They allowed Cork to do the same thing as Clare did, draw our forwards out of positions. I can't believe this was allowed to happen again. Somebody else says, Tips management need to go team are totally unprepared, look extremely unfit and lack any intensity. I don't know if they're that unfit, to be honest with you. I think they're as fit as they can be, but we just don't have pace, and you can't buy pace. You can't make somebody faster than their natural speed is, I don't think. Anyway, I'd love to know your thoughts. 083 311 3311. Paddy Stapleton's on the line. Paddy, that was a tough watch wherever you were in the stands yesterday.
Yeah, very, very hard. I was up in the gantry watching it. I was, you know, lucky to be able to work at GAA, which is great. But it was very hard work yesterday, I suppose, looking at it, Ronan. And look, you're just very, very disappointed. And criticising, you know, players that you played with that have, you know, probably helped me win medals is something I don't want to do. But, you know, it was just really, I suppose, a tough watch.
So what do you put it down to? Because there was parallels with the Clare game.
Yeah, there were parallels with the Clare game. You could even say, right, that in different aspects there was parallels with the Waterford game and the Limerick game, in terms of we have our little period of dominance, like we did at the start of the Waterford game, like we did at the start of the Limerick game. But it feels like when the tie comes against us, we're really, really struggling to answer that kind of call and that intensity. I would agree, you know, with some of the callers. I made the point, I suppose, on radio yesterday that we do play one man up front. Now, that's not in its entirety a poor thing or something that will kill you, but if we only have Mark Keogh really that's fully up, then how are we so easy to run the ball against the rest of the pitch? Like, because, you know, all the rest of your players are kind of out the field, so it should be clogged up, theoretically should be.
Well, when Darragh Fitzgibbon ran through for the Cork second goal, I didn't see much clogging up.
No, and that'll be my point. I think, do players understand their role, understand what pressure they're supposed to put on the opposition, understand, are they taking responsibility for, you know, chasing back, doing the unseen work, doing the work that nobody wants to do, that will never appear in a stat sheet. But certainly our ability to go up and down, if you talk about field sports, soccer, Gaelic football, hurling, the ability for the team to move up together and back together is really, really key. And we just looked really, really disjointed with the ball, without the ball. Like, I even talk about sharp puckouts. We're doing it for the sake of them because we're not really very good to expand in once we do a sharp puckout. It nearly always ends up with a kind of a floated clearance into, you know, whoever it is, Mark Yeo or Jake Morris. And I think, you know, I know we're trying to get away from that, but I'm not sure have we the know-how yet or the practice or know-how on how to achieve it.
How do we go from being in a Munster final last year to not being able to win a match this year? And not only that, it looks so far off it. I mean, is that just explained by Paddy and Brendan and Jamie's unavailability? Is that just explained by the fact that Niall O'Mara is abroad and Brian O'Mara is abroad? Is that just explained by just a horrible set of injuries? Because I don't know where we're going to rectify this or how and what the timescale for that rectification is going to be.
Yeah, it looks like a big body of work now, Ronan, to be fair. And I, you know, I think the past is the past in terms of who Liam Sheedy blooded and didn't blood. I think there's varying reasons for that, from COVID to the fact that some didn't perform, given their chance. And then there is one or two that I would have liked to have seen get more of a chance, but they didn't. But that's only a couple. I think a lot of lads, they're in their training for 3 years and, you know, they're finding they're going really tough. Now, look, I think it'll take a couple of years. You saw this Cork team, they're not even the finished product. And they have had good underage success and they've been up and down over the last 2 years. And a lot of those players have 2 to 3 years experience under their belt at least. So it does take a lot of time. It's just hard to know, have we the players at the minute, are the players that are in there going to be good enough? I think the injury list and the retirement list, that's a huge amount to lose. And I think it's a real note of caution to people sometimes when they see a good under 20 team or a good minor team. And I often see the public saying, let's just throw them in. It's a totally different kettle of fish. Is, yeah. Senior inter-county well, Holland
like,
is...
But then you know, the question has to be asked, and I was going to expand on this with Willie Maher in a minute, but we've had two All-Irelands in, was it 18 and 19, I think, at under-21 and under-20 level. And you look at how many of the Cork teams that we beat in both finals were playing yesterday. And we haven't... Some of those players are good players. They haven't progressed from good under-20s to senior inter-county. And the question has to be asked is, what have we failed to do for them that hasn't allowed them grow into the senior players that we all believe they could be? Have we, as a county, and not put sufficient structures in place to allow that development, that player development, to occur?
Yeah, as you said, I looked at it yesterday before the match. I think both teams had in around 13 or 14 from those two teams. Remember when Cork and Tip played in two All-Irelands in a row under 2021?
Yeah.
Both had very, very similar amounts of players on the panel, which is a huge amount from those two teams. What have we done? I'm not certain. I mean, I don't know. If I look at Tip players, I don't know, do they look as physically conditioned as other teams? I know people might say that's very simple, but I don't think they do. Whether that's natural, as you mentioned, and I think you've a great point. I've made that point plenty of times. I don't know, are we as big or as fast or as athletic as other teams? Or is the right stuff in place? There's been a changeover of S&C there. Even since my time, you know, we've often had different S&Cs where I think continuity is what you want in that area. And then in general, people have got their chance, Ronan, at times. I don't want to start naming out who got their chance and they didn't take it under Liam. But you only get a certain amount of chances. Like when I played and I was in my second year on the panel, I knew that league was my chance. If I didn't take my chance, I wasn't going to get a game. And it just feels like we're not performing, that the performance isn't there, the physicality isn't there, the intensity isn't there to get after the ball. And I'd like to see lads a lot angry on their field. Seems to be a little bit accepted to just, you know,
like Conor Lehan's very impressive performance yesterday, and I would be a bit lukewarm on him as a player in the past, but he certainly changed my mind on him yesterday. The thing that bothered me watching it was the space he had. The fact that even after he had pucked over 3 or 4 points from play, he was still having sufficient time. At inter-county level, you should have a millisecond. That's all you should have.
Yeah.
And he was having 2-3 seconds.
I agree. I think turning against Tip the last few years, that has happened on a good lot of occasions now. And even, you know, yesterday looking at it, they're just space after space. And it wasn't very difficult. That's the problem. You wouldn't mind if 2 to 3 tackles had gone in and Cockerell's moved the ball through the hands or through the lines and just broke us open in the end. But it was one pass into space, one pass into space. But like, even if you look at the two games, some people say, well, we didn't perform badly against Waterford, or we didn't perform badly against Limerick, but I'd be fairly confident that neither of those teams took us fairly seriously. You know, maybe Watford say they will, but they were after winning the league final. I think, you know, coming down off that, and then Limerick, if anyone tells me the intensity that Limerick showed against us was anything close to what they showed in All-Ireland semi-final or final, then, you know, I would laugh at them. So I think when the two teams that took us seriously, Clare and Cork, played against us, then we got dismantled twice, and that's just so worrying going forward.
I mean, a lot of our listeners and a lot of our texters are looking for green shoots, and it's kind of hard to see any right now. Like, we have skillful hurlers. So has the game changed so dramatically in three short years that we've gone from All-Ireland champions to, Jesus Christ almighty, we're facing a relegation, potential relegation from the Liam McCarthy competition if Kerry win the Joe McDonagh? Like, this is a precipitous drop in the standard we're playing at in three short years.
Yeah, it's an eerie type of feeling, isn't it? Ronan, even in 2019 we were slowing up as a team, you know, getting a little slower. You know, the Munster final, we all remember, that was a damning day down in Limerick.
Yeah.
And the pace which they had, the All-Ireland semi, Wexford could have nearly been out of sight in that first half with the amount they were ran at us. And then I think Kilkenny in the final was a good performance, but I think they suited us. They weren't overly fast either. Yeah. With a few younger players. So and then the 2 years since, we found the going quite tough. But, like, it comes in waves, you know. I think I was very lucky when I played. I was going over with people. The amount of physically fast and strong players, at least fast in the team, that were able to hound the opposition. You know, there was a lot of them there. Like, think about Woodlock, Shane McGrath, Bonner Maher, Lara Corbett, Garrod Ryan. You know, you had in the back, you had Brendan Maher, Paddy Maher, Mickey Cal, Barrett. So all of these guys are fast and able to compete in terms of power and strength. And a lot of those guys are gone now. So we're trying to... experience is one thing, but we're also trying to replace them in terms of power, pace and skill. And it's just going to take a bit of time. I'd love to see these players now come next year again. They have a lot of months, unfortunately, to get their bodies right, to get their minds right, to get steeled and say, right, our life, actually. I know people say you have to have a balance, but I think that might have to be put to the side for a while and say, right, we need to get the best team out there. Every player needs to be the best that they can be. Look at themselves in the mirror and say, what do I need to change for the next 6 months to ensure that when I put another Tipperary jersey on, the next time I put a Tipperary jersey on, I'm not going to be walked over by anyone in Munster, and we can go from there.
Paddy, it's always good talking to you. I wish we had a long summer of intercounty chat ahead of us. Regrettably, we don't, but we'll touch base on the club scene, no doubt.
No matter.
Take it easy. That's Paddy Stapleton from Bursley joining us there. Back in a sec.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
I will come to the texts in just a moment. They're flying in their hundreds, and my screen just can't keep up with the volume of them, but I will come to them in just a moment. Willie Maher is on the line. Good evening to you, Willie.
Well, Ronan, how are you?
Not great, but we'll move on from that. I don't think anyone in the county has a spring in their step this morning, but let's just ask some questions, because a lot of texters are throwing blame all over the place. It seems to me like there isn't just one thing that's... If we fix that one thing, then our fortunes will be reversed. It's multifactorial. There's systems that have to be changed. You're probably closer to a greater understanding of underage systems than most of us are. So what's your... When you woke up this morning, okay, you were dejected, but where is the fix?
Yeah, well, I suppose we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago after the Clare match, and, you know, again, that kind of, you know, really, really, everyone feeling poorly, everyone kind of, you know, I suppose reacting that they were very angry about the whole thing. But, like, I suppose, as you said there, it's about kind of trying to plot a course for the future and see, look, analyse. I think the first thing has to be, there has to be an acceptance out there at this stage that our system is not working. Our senior team is playing a game that's probably, you know, is gone. Other teams have completely passed us out, and, you know, losing four championship matches by an average of 9 points in Munster, like, that's unheard of. That's back to the 70s, and, you know, when Tipper were going really bad. So I think, look, it has to be an acceptance of we need change, but there also has to be a review, and, you know, we have to look in and really analyse it in a kind of a meaningful way, as opposed to, you know, yourself, just any kind of report. This has to be done by people that are that are qualified at looking at our system, looking how we do things. There's fantastic hurlers in Tipperary. We have a culture of hurling. There's unbelievable power behind Tipperary hurling. And I think it's a case of just looking in, seeing what we need to change. If that's structures, schools, coaching, the way our senior team's set up, everything from top to bottom, I think that has to be looked at.
Okay, so if you had a sort of a pot of money, where would you put that right now? Would you put it at schools? Would you put it at minor level? Would you, because, or do you just sort of have an acquiescence that this current cycle of the senior team isn't going to bear fruit in the short term, and that a medium to long term view is required, and everyone's just going to have to accept fallow years?
Yeah, I think it's two pronged. I think there has to be. It has to be from the top down. Obviously, our senior team is our flagship team, and I think, you know, with tweaks, with innovations, with even looking at our puck out, looking at a puck out strategy that, you know, that we're set up on opposition puck outs and our own puck outs, that we're comfortable in that area, because, as I said, 40-45 puck outs a game, like our half, like it's a really, really big thing to really go after. And because we looked really poor 4 days in a row as regards bar, you know, that first half an hour against Waterford, when, you know, we were decent on the opposition puck out, and it bore dividends. But I think it's two pronged. It's our senior team getting a style of play that suits us, that suits the players that we have. Because again, we have players, like, you know, we're like, again, I know it's much spoken about at this stage, winning 220-21 All Ireland. Like, there's a lot of young players there that, if developed properly, I think that's a huge piece. Also, on
that's a big word now. I have to pick up on what you just said there. If developed properly,
yeah.
Our listeners then want to know is, why haven't they been developed? Because they're, what, they're 24, 25 now?
Yeah, but absolutely. And, like, I suppose their development has been halted by not being played, and that's a really, really big issue. I think on the senior piece as well, I think our athleticism, we didn't look fit on Sunday. And I know that's a very kind of loose term, but, like, Cork were just coming at us in waves with an athleticism. And again, it has to be remembered here. Unless, look, Cork might win the All-Ireland this year, but, like, that's a big might. They've been blown away in the three or four big matches they've played, and they look like absolute superstars on Sunday. So I think that's a really big piece. The second part is, I suppose, the initial question you asked, what can we do? It has to be from the bottom up then, as regards looking at what we do, how we link our coaching structures, how we develop our players, how we I suppose educate in the clubs as regards of what we're doing. Like, I think we have four GDAs in Tipperary. Like, that's four people on the ground coaching across the whole county. I think Wexford have something like 16 or 17 and counting. So, like, we're being completely left behind as regards with investment and, I suppose, just that organisation of how to build a structure. And again, Wexford, a much smaller county than ourselves, in hurling terms, have, you know, I think, three or four times the amount of GDAs we have. So all these things have to be looked at. But I think it's top to bottom. This is a really, really big issue that we have to face. And if we don't face it, I think we'll stay where we are. But I think, look, there has to be an appetite there to accept things aren't the way they should be and how we can go about changing.
Okay, look at the decade just gone. In 2010, winning All-Ireland, 11 in a final, 12 into a semi-final, in a final in 14, winning 16, winning 19. So that's three All-Irelands in a decade. The first time we've done that since the 60s. So therefore, structures led to that success. We also had success at under 20 and minor. I think we won two minors in the decade as well. So where, if our structures were adequate, and I'm only using, maybe more than adequate in the last decade, what has happened in the short intervening years that has led to you saying we need to have some sort of a root and branch structure review?
I think it's just, look, we all expect more. And I guess three All-Irelands is what, I suppose, the argument on the other side would always say, I think things are fine. But I suppose if we're accepting of, as I said, an average of 9-point defeat over four games to our biggest Munster rivals, home and away, I think, look, we're in a sad place. I said to you after the Clare match that I was sad coming out of Semple Stadium, and I was, and sad against Cork, sad against, you know, like, it's not, I don't know, look, if people are happy with, I suppose, losing matches like that, I suppose...
I don't think anyone is now, in fairness.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, but I think I want the best, as does every Tipperary supporter, I suppose, to have a look. If things are not going well, which they're not at the moment, have a look at it and accept, I suppose, how we can have a look at that and put things in place to change it.
Okay. game plans is something that is coming up a lot on text tonight. People just scratch their heads wondering what our game plan is. And whatever game structure you put out on the field, for to allow Darragh Fitzgibbon do what he did, to allow Kyle Hayes last year to do what he did, you know, to replicate that error and see a goal come from it again, people have to ask, how many times does that have to happen before we do something?
Oh, absolutely, and that's I suppose a snapshot of that particular, I suppose, type of play happening, and we getting completely opened. I think it's also there's a confidence issue here with the players as well as regards. You know, it can't be easy for them as regards these mistakes continually happening, and it's not being rectified. Genuinely, I suppose across the board, I don't know what the game plan was over the last three or four games, and. There was no kind of trend bar those opposition like running at us and getting in behind. And again, Cork with Fitzgibbon and these, you know, there were huge athletes as regards around that area. Like there could have been more, and there was just there was a frightening pace around Cork yesterday. And every time they did get through, and saying all that, when Noel hit the post with the penalty, that would have pushed to seven up. But I suppose, look, that's ifs, buts and maybes, and that's not what we're talking about here. But I think it's about, I suppose, look, having a look at that. But from the naked eye, from looking at it outside, I don't know what the game plan was last week or today.
In terms of fitness, in terms of conditioning, you know, I think sometimes people mix up fitness with speed, and you can be the fittest athlete you can be, but you might not necessarily be fast. Has the game evolved into to such an extent that you have to be skillful, fit and fast? And if you're missing one of those three dynamics, you're not going to be competitive.
Yeah, no, and I go back to the question you asked me there, like, why are, you know, three All-Irelands in 10 years? And it's the other teams have upped their game here. Like, you know, Limerick, Clare, I know Clare is much publicised. I suppose a lot of backroom turbulence over the... They've got their team together. And I suppose they, like Limerick, Waterford, I know, and being an outlier, I suppose, over the last two weekends, seem to have got that over the last 3 years. But the level of athleticism is built into a system as regards from 14 to 35 when players retire. So I think just it needs to be, I suppose, closer. It needs to be, I suppose, more monitored. Players need to be doing this from 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age to give themselves the chance to, like you say there, build their speed, build their pace, build their robustness, their resilience, build all the factors that go into an athletic player on top of their hurling as well. And I think that's the piece. Everything has to be matched together, and I think that's the big piece for, you know, for something like a root and branch of what we do, and just, I suppose, compare it to other counties, because I don't think those systems are in place.
I was talking to James Woodlock before, I think, the Munster Minor Final, or maybe before the Minor Championship started, and he was referencing one player. It doesn't really matter who the player was. And on air, he said how many kilos of muscle that player had put on over the winter period, and how he used this as an example of how ready his team was. And my initial reaction was, oh, for God's sake, this fella's only 16, 17 years of age. Are we asking too much of that age group if they're putting on that many kilos of muscle in that shortish period of time? So am I wrong? Am I out of step by thinking that that's asking too much? Or is that the template that every other county is doing, and that's what we need to do with our 16, 17-year-olds? We have to tell them you've got to put on that level of muscle in order to compete at inter-county level.
I think so. I think it's very individualised for the individual player. I think that's the piece. If there was a system that was minding, I suppose, 40 or 50 of our 14, 15, 16, 17 before it even get to James Woodlock, it mightn't be such a drastic increase in body weight when the player gets to that level. So, like, again, I suppose just referencing the Limerick model at the moment, and there's no model perfect, but at the same time, there I think that you can see the benefit of 10, 15 years of structured work, which there Drews of this world in UL, and what they're doing with now Carborough Carolan, the former Tipperary athletic coach, down there running the operation. So I think it's a mixture, but I think something as drastic as putting on that amount of kilos over a short period of time, yes, it has to be done, but at the same time, it could be done over 3, 4, 5 years, and it'll be less kind of less intense for a short period, and it's just built into players and what they do.
Okay, no magic solution, Will, is that your, I suppose, there isn't one fix, like.
Yeah, there's no one fix here, and like, no one has a right to win. And I think that that has come across loud and clear in the last four or five weeks. That look, everyone's hurting, and I think now is the time for, I suppose, cool heads, reflection, looking at what we do in real terms, as opposed to, you know, saying, oh, our senior team didn't perform well. Look, just look and see why, and we've really good players in Tipperary, and we've really good people in Tipperary, and I think this is it's about just looking and trying to get the best out of those people and players, and trying to drive this thing forward, because if we don't, we're going to stay where we are, and we're going to be 5, 6, 10 points off our rivals.
Yeah, Willie, it's always good. We will touch base. I think there's going to be a lot more programmes looking at ways of coming to some sort of an optimistic view on what sort of future mapping of Tipperary hurling is going to be required. But thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Ronan.
Take care. That's Willie Maher from Ballingarry. Joining us there, former minor and under 21 manager. Let me just go to some of the text messages. I'm not even remotely going to scratch the surface on these, but I'll do my very best. One texter says, Ronan, it's not the first time Cork have ransacked a Tip team. 2010 under Sheedy, 2017. Yeah, but 2010 under Sheedy, that was down in the first round of the Munster Championship down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I remember it well. Was it one of the O'Halpines did a number on us that year? 2017, when we were the All Ireland champions and our top players on the field. Don't blame Colin Bonner. Nobody's apportioning, I don't think, and I hope not, and I'd hate for anyone to think that this programme is apportioning blame on any one individual or any one thing. There is probably multifactorial as to why our season has ended on the 22nd of May and we've lost four games by an average of 9 points. This isn't us. This is not Tip. And, you know, all we're doing on this show is trying to have some explanation as to why we have arrived at where we are. Somebody says, is it time to press the panic button? Until yesterday, the buck stopped with the Tip management. Now it's with the County Board Executive. Amateur sport, like professional sport, is business-like. It's success-driven. If you fail, you're out the door. Should we have a director of hurling or a committee to look after the on-field activities? Should we have scouts with free entry to all games, identify all our potential? Is our strength and conditioning up to standard? Why are so many Tip men working outside the county? Worst year ever. And I'm following Tip since the 70s, says one texter. There's a lot of questions in your text, texter, and we'll endeavour to get some answers to them over the course of the night, maybe over the course of many, many nights, that we probably need to have a little bit of navel gazing on this. Somebody else says the County Board Chairman should be brought in to answer some serious questions. And that's come up a lot on text. And I'm a bit curious, and perhaps texters can answer me this. Why is blame being apportioned to the County Board? It just seems like an easy fix. It's like blaming the government for oil prices that are global. You know, it's not necessarily the government's fault that the price of diesel is so high because oil prices... Like, so why on earth do you play the County Board? The County Board don't pick the team. The County Board do appoint a manager, and they appointed the best manager that was available at the time. And I fair dues to Colin for putting his hand up. I think you have to give credit to Colin Bonner for going in and taking on this challenge when he knew that the team was in such transition and he knew that retirements were imminent as well. Let's go back to some of the text. Tip look a tired team falling away after 40 or 50 minutes. It's nothing to do with stamina. It's lack of stamina. It's nothing to do with speed. It's lack of stamina and fitness. And I would concur, I think, with that text. I think particularly the last 10 minutes against Waterford and the last 10 minutes against Limerick, we did look very, very much out on our feet. Somebody else says William Maher's correct, the team is unfit. I'm glad two analysts tonight have spoken about Tip team's fitness, which I also agree with. We look slow in both our games in Thurles. Cork and Clare ran us into the ground. Any chance you can get any senior county board on for a comment? They have been very absent since the last four defeats. I'm sure they will touch base with them over the course of coming weeks. It's the 70s and 80s all over again, says the texter. We've overachieved with Tip, simple as that. County Board have a lot to answer for too. Somebody else says, in my 35 years following Tipperary hurling, it's been the bleakest season I've ever witnessed. With all due respects to Cullum, he's a gentleman. It's not fair on the young players of Tipperary, some with three All-Ireland medals in their pockets, to be the whipping boys of Munster. The County Board's main priority must be to secure the return of blah, blah, blah. Okay. Return of some other manager into the Tip situation. Tip hurling is all about pace now. We had players down on their knees after 15 minutes gasping for air. Tip are so unfit. It's unbelievable at this level, says Texter. I don't know if I can say that Tip team's unfit. I don't think they are. I don't think Colin Bonner would allow a Tip team to take the field that's unfit. I think we are fit, we just don't have speed. Anyway, Tom McGrath's on the line. Hi, Tom.
I'm flabbergasted after that barrage just off Ronan, to be quite honest.
Okay, what's flabbergasted? Because that is not even a tenth of what's in front of me.
Ash was you know, the pop at the county board, the county board officers and all that type of stuff. Like, look, that's not...
It is like blame the government for bad weather.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah, I think you cut it. You made that point, like oil prices and all that type of stuff. I mean, there's a whole plethora of reasons why things go wrong. Like, but I think it was as simple as that yesterday. Our work rate in other matches was tremendous. I think real difficulty in the previous matches is that we didn't have the strength and depth in our bench when it came to like it's a 20-man game. When it came to the 20, we didn't have 20 to match the 20 that Waterford and Limerick had coming down the stretch, and that's why we lost those matches. Right, there was chances created on both days that weren't taken properly. All right, but that comes with experience, that comes with time, that comes with patience and confidence and all that type of stuff. But I mean, yesterday, I suppose the thing that disappointed me about yesterday was that the fear I had going in is that we wouldn't get a start. We got a start. Maybe the start was too good. But then a little bit of decision making. I was surprised at the decision on the penalty. I would have thought that, I even said to people beside me, Jason Ford is the man for that, not being disrespectful to the family member involved. Like, but I mean, he was, you know, he was 12 and 13 with a freeze, and I think Jason would have put that one away. But then if things were to go wrong, and if you're typified the way the thing went, the rebound, similar to Jake Morris's effort against Clare, was it 2-3 years ago? Rebound, 20 seconds later, the ball is in the net at the other end. And that's what happened yesterday again. Like, and if
do you honest, in your heart of hearts, Tom, do you think if that penalty had been scored, that we'd have won the match?
Oh, I wouldn't say that we would have won the match, but what would it have done for the morale and the thing of the other? But it shouldn't take an episode like that to deflate lads to the extent that I saw fellas deflated or down yesterday. I mean, I saw fellas yesterday that are regarded as being slow to run on the Tipperary team, passing other fellas that would regard as quicker to chase after a Cork fella. There was lads prepared yesterday to let Cork lads go. There was other fellas willing to die in their boots to catch the Cork fella. They didn't catch him, but at least they tried. Like, and I mean, I think that's the disappointment I would have brought out yesterday was our failure to apply the God-given talent that a lot of our players have, that we didn't apply them fully yesterday in terms of chasing, cutting down space, being a little bit cynical maybe at times, like slow Cork. I mean, Cork outscored us, what, 215 to 3 points after we started with 1-3.
I think
that shouldn't happen. Like,
I'll tell you what shouldn't happen, Tom, is nobody should come to Semple Stadium and score 330. That should never ever happen again.
No, and I suppose if you were a forward and you were a perfect outfit that scored 124 in former eras, you say, well, you wouldn't expect to lose a match, but you'd be asking questions to your backline if you conceded 330. But a lot of our concessions stem from the failure of our upfield players to apply themselves to the task. And that was to cut down on the runs by the Cork players. Fair or foul? You look at different social media bits and that. I'd be a small bit into it, but you'd look at little bits and say there was a need to get a little bit into the dark arts of block a fella's run. You can block a fella's run legitimately, like, but just stepping across his line early in the stage. Like, I mean, like, Hayes did it for Limerick last year in the Munster final. Fitzgibbon went straight through yesterday, the same as if we just opened the thing. And now that wasn't the fault. I mean, I've apportioned blame to the forward line already for not working back enough, because defence starts at 15 in my language.
Yeah,
but then we should have learned from last year. A lot of the fellas that were there last year were still there yesterday, and that avenue, I mean, the thing opened. I mean, like, I was screaming, somebody come to him, like, and like, when they came to too late, it actually made it more difficult for Barry Hogan to block the shot, because the shot got under his body. Like, but I suppose Paddy Stapleton talked an awful lot of sense there earlier, and Paddy talked about players in the league that if you didn't perform in the league, you knew your number was up. A Cork player that typified that yesterday was Conor Lehan. Conor Lehan is kind of on the fringes of things there.
Yeah, I said I was lukewarm with him. I was lukewarm about him before yesterday, but yesterday he looked like a superstar. Yeah.
But why, Ronan? Because his work rate. He was playing on his toes, ready to go to the break. Got into places where potentially you could get hurt. mean, he's not the biggest of players. He's
I'm sorry to cut across you, but like, no Tip player got close enough to him to hurt him.
No, but he was willing to get into the spot where this ball would be dropping and there was going to be a collision of bodies and all that. And I mean, he got in there, which wouldn't be his normal way of doing things. But he done it, and he 6 points in play in the first half. If you were to look at a player that did his damage, he was the one that did his damage, because he got a few points early on when Cork needed scores. And he got the thing going. And then I mean, Conor Lehan is 29, I think. So he's not exactly, you know, a first flush of youth. No. He's not a beginner on the Cork team. But he feels his place is under threat. Shane Kingston the same way. He's in a difficult situation too. But Conor Lehan was the one that typified in my eyes in the first half. That he was there, first touch was good, nimble, and took his pints and, you know, wasn't bothered about the mantra of when the thing opens up, go for the goal. No, took his pints and the goals came after that. Then somebody else had a run back.
JJ Kennedy's on the line as well. JJ, how are you?
Hi, Ronan.
I know you didn't answer how you were, but that's fine. I understand the implication of your evasive answer. Your thoughts on yesterday, or what else can you add in relation to it? Because you have been telling me on this show for a number of years that your hearing structures were not at the level they should be. And is this a case of chickens coming home to roost? Nobody wants to be right. Nobody wants to be a prophet in their own land. But perhaps this has been coming, and this conversation and this programme that we're having to have tonight has been coming for maybe a couple of years.
I think so. It's not really a surprise. It was signposted, I think, for some time. And when you listen to people that are very close to the scene and they know exactly what's going on in the background, they have been expressing grave concerns for a long time. And I'm not so sure that the county has been reacting to those comments. That's been part of the issue. I mean, you can... Liam Cahill, for example, last year made comments that didn't go down well at some people. But again, he was pointing to what he saw as, you know, poor structures within the county, which was one of the factors maybe that fed into his decision. You know, Liam O'Shea, remember, touched on this and spoke about a director of hurling needed to be appointed in the county and so on. Interestingly, yesterday, Declan Fanning wrote in on this as well in an interview. You may have seen.
I saw it last night,
yeah, where he made very similar comments again. Now, you know, these are people that are have been involved in the system. They know it inside out. They know what's going on in Tipperary, and they know that things haven't been right for some time. And it's kind of old territory at this stage. You know, I hate even going back over it at this stage, because we've been saying this for a long time, that structures haven't been good, and there is a fallout from that. And you know, you eventually reap what you sow in this instance.
Do you have to fall this far though? For the penny to drop. That's what's kind of frustrating me in a lot of texters tonight, is that why did we allow us to have such a precipitous fall in from All-Ireland champions 3 years ago to not winning a match in Munster, and as Willie's pointed out, losing by 9 points on average in each of the matches, you know?
Yeah, I think in a sense you have a sort of perfect storm here, in that you have, as you said, it's multifactorial. You've a lot of different strands feeding into it. You can go back to the whole appointment process last year, which I think the county board wasn't good on, and we needn't go any further on that. But I think most people in the know accept that at this stage. There was going to be a natural transition anyway. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew you were going to lose some of the All-Ireland winners, and that was going to be a problem. And then injuries fed into it. And then you had fellas, you know, deciding to opt out for various reasons. And by the way, I've no doubt that in some of those cases, at least, one of the factors, they won't admit it in public, but I'd say one of the factors that fed into some of those decisions was that they saw what was coming down the tracks, and they decided, you know, it's better be out of that for a year or two and maybe come back in then. So you've had a whole lot of things. The injuries, of course, have been crippling as well. You've had a whole series of things that have created the perfect storm, and we're in a really bad place. That's the bottom line. You know, I would imagine for next year you'll have maybe a few more of those, you know, All-Ireland winners in the past that'll probably step away from it.
Please don't say that, because I was watching it yesterday and I said to myself, and I know Tom's still on the line, forgive me, Tom, but I was thinking, if Noel McGrath steps away from this, God, heaven help us.
Yeah, well, I didn't mention Noel. I mean, Noel is the one...
He's only 31, he's fine. He's not a couple of years
old. He's only a young fella.
Horgan is 34, so yeah.
You know, but there are, let's face it, there are others who have been sort of on the bench a bit maybe and not heavily involved. involved in it this year, and I may well. I don't know, but I would imagine that they may. And what you're coming up behind then is not up to the same standard at all. And that's just the reality. You know, significantly, our under-20s, we didn't have any player from the under-20 team on the senior panel. You know, Limerick had a few big names there. They'd probably have won the under-20 if they had kept them all for that competition. Now, I know our under-20s are that bit younger. I think the team generally was young. But so, you know, you don't have that big surge of talent coming up. What you have is what you have. It's lesser quality than we've been used to. That's the reality. And we're going to suffer for a few years. I think it's unavoidable.
Tom, would you agree with that thesis that we're going to suffer for a few years?
Yeah, I think so, because the area probably the biggest difference between Tipperary and the other counties is sheer bulk. You know, size and big men, but big, fast men.
Like, yeah, that's fair. I want to pick up on that, because Limerick just have a perfect crop. They've just reaped a perfect crop of big, athletic, skillful, fast hurlers, and that's just luck.
Yeah, but they have more of them coming behind. Like, even it was Limerick minor footballers I saw in action one night, and they were getting ready to play a match, and they were awesome. I thought it was some of their senior team were down, but I was assured that they were under 17, like, and the sheer size of them. We didn't have anything like that, and that's not something that you can pick up on the side of the street like that. You have, but I think that we've unearthed a few lads this year. I think that are going to be an asset going forward, and they take some of the boxes. Like, I mean, the likes of Dylan Quirk now, he's not exactly small. Craig Morgan brings something to the cornerback area as well. Like, I mean, they're lads that will be the better for their experiences this year in some respects, but they'll have to still overcome the shattering disappointment, because it has to be disappointing to them to come in with the group that's come in with and to be on the receiving end of four serious trimmings in Munster this year. Like, that brings its own baggage, if you like.
Yeah, no doubt. Just look at two of the goals, the two first half goals. The third one was game over, but like the two first half goals, JJ, they were very different. The first one, there was plenty of men back, and the Cork forward, O'Sullivan, I think his name, just shrugged off the Tipperary defence. Like, he should have been completely bottled up. The second goal was completely different, because it was just like the Red Sea parting. Sorry now for all the biblical terminology tonight, but the Red Sea parted and he just ran right through it, like.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, the Dara, the second one, yeah, the second one was the Dara Fitzgibbon one, which was a sort of carbon copy almost of the goal against Clare, one of the goals against Clare, where John Conlon just got the freedom of the park to come right through from midfield, and the same with Fitzgibbon. If you look at that in replay, we had loads of players back, but nobody seemed to take on the job of actually coming to him. And he was allowed to get within shooting distance of the goal, and it went in. The second one, again, you're right. Again, we had bodies back, but they should even have fouled him. They initially fouled him. He was on advantage, but you know, they didn't make the foul stick, if you like, and let him wriggle free. And it was Connolly, I think, wasn't it, that got that particular one.
Yeah.
But one of the disappointing things, I mean, we were talking after the Limerick match, and we were praising the Tipperary players, that they were so hungry, they were full of energy, they were hitting Limerick, they were working their socks off all over the place and doing all of that type of thing. Where was that yesterday? There was no sign of that. I actually watched a recording of the game today, and it was actually worse watching it back than it was there live. The space we allowed, the way we stood off Cork, the lack of work rate in many cases, it's very difficult to sort of understand that, how we could go from the Limerick game to that yesterday. And I think that's one of the things that has frustrated followers as much as anything. Nobody would have minded, well, we always want to win, but we would have been able to tolerate a defeat yesterday, because I don't think most of us expected to win anyway. But it was the nature of that defeat. Mm.
Tom, I want to come up, pick up on what JJ is saying there. It's tame is a word. The nature of the defeat. It's clear all over again. So, you know, you're destined to repeat history if you don't read it. You're destined to repeat the errors if you don't learn from them.
Yeah, well, it is. So what's this the definition of, is it stupidity? That
doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Yeah, different results, like, yeah. But I mean, the difference was yesterday. I mean, we got a six-point head start yesterday. Like I said already, that was the bit that I was fearing the first few minutes, how we were going to hit the ground. We were going to hit the ground running. And by golly, we did, like, you know, turned over ball early on and then ended up with a swashbuckling goal, like, and now it was high risk from Jake Morris to finish, like, when, you know, luckily it went in because there was been questions to be answered. But you got the start and you went on from there. But, just the nature of the way the thing just, like, you'd be reluctant to use words like surrender and capitulation and all that type of stuff, but it looked like that in some respects. And then was there a fear factor involved that once the lad got done for pace once, that he wasn't going to let the Cork man go past him, that he was going to stand that yard off him and force him to make the decision? And then next thing, there's another fella coming and you have to deal with two then, and we have nobody coming to bring the fella on with him. Just disjointed, I suppose, would be a word to use as well. Like.
And how much, gentlemen, is confidence playing into, bleeding into this? Like, we came out of a league campaign low in confidence. There's no two ways about that. Like, you know, apart from an Antrim result, our score difference was poor. And the players would be aware of the fact that the expectation around the county was low. How much of that bled into four championship performances?
Well, it doesn't help. You know, success breeds success, and you know, by winning matches. And like, it's a good few months ago now when we talked about that league match in Kerry.
Yeah,
you know, and there I mentioned it again, but that sort of was the game that I felt we shouldn't. That's a game that we shouldn't have been losing, no matter what team we had out, like, but we did, and that wasn't going to be an issue until something else became an issue, and now it's becoming an issue. You know, like the statisticians be out there, and now it doesn't bother me unduly, but the thing is, at this stage, we've lost a competitive game to every Munster county this year. Like, that's serious thing. That's serious thing too, and that will dent players' confidence. Well, you know, you talk about, you know, a confidence thing, like, and that fellas' confidence needs to be built. Well, you build fellas' confidence by they performing number one, but it's also important to be winning. And there's certain matches that you have to be winning at all costs. And I felt that was one. But, like, look, like, in one sense, you'd hope that Kerry would win the Christy Ring, and that you'd end up having a match with him with something at stake. Like, we didn't think we'd be having a conversation like this.
I can't believe I'm having this conversation. I've been in this chair for 20 years. JJ, just, I'm going to finish because, like, I can't believe I haven't actually even done any camogie yet and I'm going to run out of time. But can I just ask you about, like, we have to train on in the expectation that we might have a playoff match against Kerry. I mean, God, I can't imagine the mood in the camp for that.
Yeah, I think it's a crazy situation. I think that game, if... Kerry are playing in a fortnight's time, isn't it, in the
Joe McDonagh
final? And then I think it's 3 weeks after that we'd be scheduled to meet them if they win. So that's 5 weeks that the team has to wait. I think it's crazy. I think if Kerry win the Joe McDonagh, they should be entitled to be in the Munster competition next year, irrespective. And that game shouldn't actually be there at all. I think it's just ridiculous. But it's a scary one for Tipperary, because, I mean, the mood is so down now. The whole thing is so depressed. How are you going to train for another 5 weeks and be ready for that game? And Thomas Fraser, we have the experience of what happened in January. So you, in the present mood, you could take nothing for granted. But it is just the rule is ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, I think
Roland, so. Just the point.
Yeah.
It's a slight bit off topic, but I mean, the six counties in the Leinster Championship. What'd be wrong with, if Kerry do win their way up or entitled to win their way up, why not have six counties in the Munster Championship next year?
I have no problem with that. It's bonkers to me, but you see, one the risk of that is if we start calling for a rule change, people say, you just don't fancy playing to Kerry. I think you're right. I think on any merit, irrespective of who was potentially playing Kerry, Kerry should be allowed into it. Also, you've got Kilkenny, who are into a Leinster final, having beaten Laois, Westmeath and Dublin. And they're in the Leinster final. They lost by a point to Galway and they lost to Wexford. Like, you know, they're not the same animals, Leinster and Munster, right now.
But you can imagine what the comment lines in Wexford were this night week. having just drawn with Westmeath.
Yes, but they were still in the Championship.
But then they come back up. Well, they still then had to go to Nolan Park and win. It would have been a lot easier to have went up to Mullingar and won the match rather than go to Nolan Park, you'd imagine.
They would have had to go to Nolan Park and win, though.
But they still have done what they've done, and they're, you know, it's a very fickle thing, sport.
It is, and like one texter says, and I only have a minute left, JJ, county players should send out in club matches. It doesn't seem to happen in TIP anymore. And a couple of texters are kind of sort of saying that our club scene isn't as good as we think it is.
I'm not too sure about that. I think our club scene has improved in recent years. I think the whole grading system we had in the clubs, with the clubs, has sorted out the different standards. And I think we've had some great competition in the last couple of years. In the club. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is when you go on to the next stage and you go to development squads and underage structures and all of that stuff and strength and conditioning, etc., all the stuff that's been discussed earlier, I think that's where the issue is rather than with the club scene.
Okay, lads, many thanks for both your time. I kept you on for longer than I intended, but thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate it, lads. Thank you.
Okay, Ron.
JJ Kennedy and Tom McGrath. That is all we have time for. I'm sorry to Camogie. Drew with Clare. They're playing really well at the moment. Daryl Darcy, Cup winners, unfortunately, are footballers. Minor footballers are gone out of that championship as well. So that's the end of the minor footballers. But it's also the end of our senior hurlers. We have a possible game against Kerry to think about. We'll come to that in due course. Ian O'Connor produced tonight. We will be back to you next Monday night. Good night, good luck, and take care of yourselves.
Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.